Good afternoon, everyone. I want to make a correction about one prayer request. Fernando said, my brother's coming. And so it's actually my brother and his good friend, Josh. So JR and Josh, double J, are coming to wreak havoc on my household. So praise the Lord for that. Also, another praise, Matthew and I, we meet about once a week to study and pray, and this time, last week, we invited Koichi to join us, and also Hiroki, and Koichi was able to join us for that great prayer time. Thank you for coming, and we're going to try to get Hiroki to come next week. He had a party to go to, but just want to encourage you to take the initiative and start a prayer meeting, a Bible study, some kind of fellowship, maybe at your home. Or also, this church is available anytime during the week. Just have to tell Pastor Hiroshi we'd like to meet here on Thursday night, 7 o'clock, and he'll be happy to open up a room here. So please don't hesitate to have a fellowship or a Bible study sometime during the week. Okay. Want to go ahead and start turning your Bibles to Exodus chapter 2. Our subject of study this year is Moses, and our main topic at the beginning is the calling of Moses. Why are we focusing on the call of Moses? Because Moses isn't the only person who has been called by God or who has a calling. Everyone has a calling in life. We all have a purpose for our life. You have a mission. You have a vocation, as some would say. So in looking or studying at the call of Moses, we are reflecting on our call, our mission, our purpose given to us from God. And my original goal for today was to look at the event of the burning bush. That's in chapter 3. That's the event where Moses received his call from God. Last week, I spoke on the events in Moses' life that kind of led up to the burning bush. And I was planning to spend our time focusing today on the event of the burning bush itself. But as I was studying, I realized that there was something in the small story that we're going to read just before the burning bush that we couldn't pass over. It's just something too important. So we're going to go ahead and read there. I don't have it up here, so you're going to have to follow with me. I'd like for us to read it together, as is our custom. We're going to read from verse 15 to verse 22 in Exodus chapter 2. By the way, as we're studying Moses, I invite you to also read through the book of Exodus yourself throughout the week, throughout this year, because that's where most of the events we'll be studying come from. So take it nice and slow. You've got 1 year to read one book, if you like. So anyway, let's go ahead and begin. I'll start us off. Let's read together verse 15. Ready? Let's go. When Pharaoh heard of this, he tried to kill Moses, but Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in Midian, where he sat down by a well. Now, a priest of Midian had 7 daughters, and they came to draw water and fill the troughs to water their father's flock. Some shepherds came along and drove them away, but Moses got up and came to their rescue and watered their flock. Please continue. Zipporah gave birth to a son, and Moses named him Gershom, saying, I have become an alien in a foreign land. Amen. That's 22, right? Yeah, okay. Now, I know it's February, it's the first Sunday, and Valentine's Day is just around the corner, and this story involves Moses heroically helping out some young ladies in trouble. It's so romantic. But today's message has nothing to do with romance. Sorry to break your heart. But the story does involve destiny. And although this little story may seem coincidental, so small, just a small bit of the big picture, it's often those little things that eventually lead us to our destiny. The little story is very significant. Because what we see in this story is something in the character, the personality of Moses that helps us to understand the calling of Moses. Now, you'll remember Moses was back in Egypt. That's where he started. And while he was in Egypt, he was very wealthy. He was very strong, very influential prince. He was being raised to be royalty, Egyptian royalty, raised in the house of the daughter of Pharaoh. But he ends up becoming a murderer. And now he's a fugitive from Pharaoh. Now, how do you end up being a murderer when you're being raised for a monarchy? Now, he realized that even though he was a prince in Egypt, he understood that he wasn't Egyptian. He was Hebrew. And the people that he saw maybe on a weekly or daily basis that were working so hard in the fields, in the cities, building and farming and working, they were his people. He was one with them because of his birth, his flesh, and even his blood. And he realized, okay, he had a special place, his special position, that he was able to help his people. He had the education, he had the power, he had the influence, he had the wealth to do something about their situation, which is his situation. So his motive, his reason for trying to help these people was a good reason. He thought, yeah, this is what I'm here to do. This is my calling. This is my destiny, to help my people. And that's what he tries to do. He tries to go out, and it doesn't go like he plans. It doesn't go right. And before he knows it, he has blood on his hands. He has to get rid of a body. Okay? Next day, he'll go out again and he sees two of his people, Hebrews, fighting each other. Okay, here's my chance. I'm going to be a helper to my people. I'm going to help them reconcile and get over their argument. Who are you? Mind your own business. What are you doing butting into our business? And he finds himself rejected. Not only that, they're going to basically rat him out, tell the Pharaoh about what happened the day before. So he's trying to do something good, something right. He ends up getting rejected, getting threatened, and also murdering somebody. Wow, that's hard. I don't know if that's ever happened to you. You try to do something good. You think you're doing the right thing. And what happens, you know, it goes, blows up in your face. You say the wrong thing, or the reaction isn't what you expect, or it's a lot more difficult than you thought. Oh, man, I thought this was what I'm supposed to do. This is the right thing. This is my calling, my destiny. And it goes wrong. So what does he do? He's running. He runs away from Pharaoh. He's afraid. He thinks he's going to be caught. And he runs way out to the other side of the Red Sea. It's a place called Midian. Now, this place, the land of Midian, it's what we would call modern-day Saudi Arabia. It's just right there between Saudi Arabia and Egypt, the northwest tip. It's desert. The people there are actually descendants of Abraham. So they know something about the worship of the God of Abraham. They would call him the living God. And as they would worship, they would have a priest. And the priest in that land of Midian was a man named Reuel. It's spelled R-E-U-E-L, Reuel, but it's something that you say it here, and most Westerners don't have it here. And you got Reuel. But that's his name. He's a priest. And it says that he... was a man with seven daughters. And seven daughters is no fun. My uncle has seven daughters, and he is not the happiest man in the world. When you have seven daughters, I could imagine you're probably just thinking, how fast can I marry all of them off? You know, just boom, boom. So it's no surprise what we find in this story. Oh, you saw a guy? He helped you out? Okay, let's get him married. Come on, let's go, right? So that was the priest, Reuel, meaning the friend of God. Okay, so Moses is in Midian, far, far away from Egypt, far, far away from the power and the wealth, the influence, chariots, servants, and good plumbing. Nothing there. In fact, he has to get his water from a well. So he goes, he finds himself at a well, and he sits down. And he says, it says there that when he sits down at the well, he notices something. And this is what we want to look at carefully today. This is the most important part. What we see at the event of this well is a look inside of the character of Moses. And that is, that character trait is what helps to determine, what helps to lead him to his destiny, his calling, his mission. And so he's sitting there, and what he sees is a group of young ladies just doing their work. They're coming to the well, and this is not an accurate depiction. This is a more modern drawing. But he's sitting there, and as the women are doing their work, trying to bring up the water and feed their flocks, you know, a group of these, you know, like loser-type bully shepherds come in and basically take advantage of these women. Now, this is the desert. There's not many trees. You can see the trees and the buildings there, but there's nothing. This is the desert. And in the desert, you know, there's not a lot of wells. There's not a lot of places for water. So when you go to a well, there's going to be many other people there because you have to share this well. And it will take some time. And it's a lot of work. You have to bring the water up. And depending on the size of your flock, your animals, it could take a long time just to bring the water up, fill up the troughs, bring up some more water, fill up the troughs, bring up some more water, fill up the troughs. And then your animals can come and drink. And so the women are doing this. They're bringing up the water, filling the troughs are filled up. They're ready to go. And what probably happened is this group of shepherds, they come in, and the women are weaker than them, so they can just kind of, you know, kind of bogart their way into the situation. What they do is they could scare off the women's animals, so the women have to go out and, you know, re-herd them, regather them. But by the time they've done that, the shepherds have had their flocks watered. And so all of the work they did to bring the water up for their own animals, they have to do it again because the troughs are empty. And so these bullies basically just take advantage of these women who are weaker than them. And Moses is sitting there and he sees this. He knows what's going to happen. And there is something inside Moses that just will not allow this to happen because it's not right. It doesn't matter if you're two people, two men in Egypt, or a slave in Egypt, and you're getting beat down by someone stronger than you because he's Egyptian, or if you're someone in a land far away, a couple of women being taken advantage of from some big bullies, what's wrong is wrong. And what comes out in Moses is who he is. He is a rescuer. He is a person who likes to help people who are weak. He doesn't want to allow stronger people to take advantage of the weaker people. That's in his character. And so he rescues these girls. And that is a vital, that is a central part of his character put there by God to lead him to his calling. Now, let's talk about that for a minute, characters and character traits. One of the major factors in determining our calling, our mission, is our character. That part in us that God put into us, that makes us distinctly us, that makes me not you and you not me. It's me, my character. Now, for Moses, his character was a rescuer, a deliverer, as you can say, a kind of savior. That was his character. He is the type that helped weak people. Others of us, my character is that of a teacher. I enjoy seeing others grow in knowledge and in skill. Others of us were givers. This type of person is sacrificial by nature. For these people, it's easy to put other people's needs before theirs. It's just part of their character. Now, other people, they're communicators. It just comes naturally for them to make difficult ideas or difficult concepts really easy to say. And they can explain it like that, no problem, because they are communicators by character, not something I am. Others are administrators, someone who naturally works efficiently. You know, they can save time and resources with no problem. It's like a habit to them. It's like waking up in the morning. Others of you are counselors by nature. You just know how someone feels. and you can feel their feeling very easily. It's not difficult for you. And from that, you're able to listen or to give advice or to just help somebody along their struggle through life. That's just natural for you. And those are just a few that come up. There's many kinds of character traits, but that part of us that makes us us and not somebody else, that's so natural for us, is what helps determine our calling, our purpose in life. Now, how do I know, or how do you know, what your calling is? How is it that you can understand your calling through your character trait? And, well, as we look in the story, it says there, at the beginning, Moses was at a well, and he was sitting down. And then he sees the situation, and then he gets up. That's put there for a reason, those two verbs. He was sitting down, and he gets up. Because it was something inside of him that picked him up. And that was his character. What makes you get up? Like James Brown would say. Yes, he couldn't help it. I was sitting down yesterday in my apartment, and I was folding laundry, something I enjoy doing. It was Saturday, my day of rest. And I started thinking about just school, work. Some of you know that I'm a teacher full-time at a college. And I was thinking about one of my classes, and it wasn't just thinking about a class, you know, for this week or this month. Actually, I was just thinking about one class for the next school year, which begins in April. And as I was, sitting there folding laundry and just thinking about it more and thinking about it more, I started getting excited about it, about work, you know. And if you know me, you know that I do not like to bring my work home. I like to make sure that when I'm finished with work, you know, I leave work at work. And I try not to bring textbooks home or other things from work back with me, because one, it's just too heavy. And two, I like to make sure I have a boundary, to keep that boundary between work and home life, just to keep myself from burnout, you know. If I can't finish everything at work, you know, I'm happy not to bring it home. I'm happy to leave the work there and just let it sit there overnight and be busier the next day. I'm fine with that because I'm not bringing work home. I'm just not going to do that. So I'm sitting there yesterday, Saturday. It's my day of rest. I'm not thinking about work, but something is coming up about this class. I'm getting excited, and before I know it, I'm writing notes, planning. I've written a couple pages now about this class I'm going to do next year, and then I'm sending out emails to my coworkers on Saturday, work emails. That's just crazy. But I love it. It made me get up from my rest. And it's something I enjoy doing because it's in me. It's part of my character, this class that I'm going to teach. What is it that makes you just want to get up? You can't sit down. When you hear something or you see something happening, you have to be involved because there is something in you that says, I cannot be standing back from this. I want to be involved. I have to get into it. What is that in you? That part of your character is what helps you determine your calling in life. Also, it says that Moses not only got up, he helped the girls, but then also he helped water their flocks. He watered their flocks. In this day, in that time, watering flocks was not men's work. It was actually women's work. The children actually herded the flocks, and the women were the ones who brought the water. And also, it was shepherd's work as well. If you were a shepherd, that's just what you did, part of the job description. But Moses, a prince, a warrior, you know, a samurai, comes in, and he's doing the women's work. He's doing the shepherd's work. And for someone like him, of his status, to do something, to step out of that, and that type of work, one historian said for an Egyptian to do something like water the flocks or take care of the animals, it's loathsome. It's just terrible, dirty work. But Moses, for some reason, he didn't mind doing it. There was something about helping those girls that caused him to do something that was outside of his social status. You know, that self-dignity, that status, that position, it meant nothing in this situation. It made him go extra. And what is it for you that makes you say, it doesn't matter who I am or who they are or where we're at. It has to be done. It needs to be done. And that thing that's inside of us is what determines our calling. Paul said that in Colossians chapter 1, verse 29, as Helen shared with us. Paul saying, we proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all the wisdom that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. And in verse 29, to this end I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works within me. He's willing to go extra for that calling that God has put in his life with his energy, his strength. And what does Nehemiah tell us in chapter 8? He says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. What does that mean? That means that thing in your character that gives you joy, that comes from God. God put that there to help you see what you should be doing in your life. If it gives you joy, if it gives you satisfaction, if that's what it is that gives you strength because you'd love doing it, that is from God, and that is what you're called to do. What makes you get up, and what makes you go extra? And the last thing I just want to mention in brief is, it has no relationship. There's nothing to do with where you're at. Yes, you may be a foreigner in Japan, or you may be a Japanese native, but your character is your character. Moses, when he was in Egypt, he was trying to rescue his people. It didn't work. He failed at it. It wasn't the right time. But whether he was in Egypt or whether he was in the desert, he was still a rescuer. And whether you are in your home country or you are here in the foreign land, that character that God put in you will come out. When I came out here, it was 7 years ago. I had just stopped 5 years of youth ministry, teaching and also leading worship. And there's one church downtown, Hiroshima Baptist Church. It's all Japanese. It smelled like this old church. I loved it. It was a good family church. And all I wanted to do was just relax and just sit there and listen to sermons, try to get the language in. That's all I wanted to do. I didn't want to play guitar. I didn't want to, you know, teach or nothing. Didn't want to be involved in youth ministry. I was tired, burned out. I was like, I'm done. And 2 months into it, I just get my guitar And I think, oh man, I got to bring my guitar to church. I just can't go to church without my guitar. And there I am in church, and the people are like, you play guitar? Yeah, I play guitar. Oh, really? What do you play? Oh, I play worship music. Oh, really? Oh, yeah. And I start playing guitar. And it was great. It's like, before that time, everything was kind of black and white. And once you play that guitar, strum that first chord of shout to the Lord, it's like color bursts into, to the world. That was my joy, leading worship. And it doesn't matter if I'm in Japan or at home. It just comes out. So your character is related to your calling. And your character is regardless of your location. However, your calling is related to your location, your circumstance. And I'm going to get into that more next time. And not next week. Hiroshi's going to preach next week on the message of the cross, but in a couple weeks we'll finally hit the burning bush and our calling itself, and we'll meditate on that for a little bit. As we close our sermon, we're going to transition into time of communion. It is the first Sunday of February, and as I've mentioned before, I love communion. I love taking it. For me, it's a clean slate. I feel like it's a new month, and it's another chance to wipe the board clean and let God do what He wants to do anew in my life. And with that, Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 to reflect on your life. Before you come and take the bread and take the cup, reflect. Look inside your heart. Test yourself. And recommit yourself to God. Offer yourself to Him again as a living sacrifice. And as you do that, I'm going to try to get us into the slides. Do we have it up? Yeah. Yukiji, you want to take it?